Luke chapter 15, if you'll find your place there this morning, Luke chapter number 15. Now, I want to ask you this question to think about. Do you have a good relationship with each one of your children? Do you have a good relationship with each one of your children? I'm a failure at a lot of things, at most things, but I have a good relationship with my kids. And have had all of these years, and I like that. I'm glad that I do. Luke chapter 15, let's stand together, and let's read. It's a familiar story, but let's begin to read in verse number 11. The Bible says, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And that lasted him a while, whatever his father gave him. If my kids said, look, Dad, can we go ahead and get our inheritance? They'd spend it all. They'd be back in one day because that's all I've got for them. But verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain or gladly have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He said, I will arise and go to my father. And I want to speak for a little while this morning on how to have a good relationship with your children. You may not have your children at home anymore, but as long as your children are still alive and breathing, I think you ought to work on having a good relationship with them. And there's been too many funerals where someone had to, you know, weep and cry over the fact that they never had a good relationship with their parent, or the parent never had a good relationship with their child. I think if you have grandchildren, you ought to work at having a good relationship with those grandchildren. Now, I thought about this morning, it was on my mind about how we must stay faithful, because I saw folks recently in church that they didn't stay faithful. For one reason or another, they got upset about something, didn't stay faithful, And yeah, they're still in a church, and some of them in a decent Baptist church or whatever, but their kids are grown, and their kids, their families are not in any kind of church. And those grandkids are not being raised in any kind of church. And certainly, mom and dad, there's a motivation right there to just stay faithful, because it's not just about, well, we make all kinds of decisions, and then when we wind up wherever one day, as long as we're sitting in a pew somewhere. But what about your kids? Are you teaching them to be unfaithful? Are you teaching them to run from everything in their life? Or because then they're not going to want church one day. And then, yes, you're getting it. And I'm not trying to pour salt in wounds. I'm trying to help those who still have young kids at home. But you're getting it. But then you've got grandchildren. I was at the funeral of a preacher about a month ago now in Fort Worth, a fellow that had been a leader in the Bible college that I was in. And I've seen this time and time again. There was another preacher up in Oklahoma a few weeks before then. And you hear all these stories about how God worked in their life and what God used them to do. And it's great. But when you watch the family that's walking behind the family going to sit down, you see that godly wife. You might see a son or daughter that look like they're still living for God. But you just watch that line as it progresses. And the next thing you know, you've got a grandson that looks like a girl, a granddaughter that looks like a boy. It's the worldliness just oozes, and you sit there and you think, wait a minute, here was a man of God. Here was a pastor, a pastor's wife. Here was a Sunday school teacher. Where did it fail? Where did that generation, was it the next generation that said, well, I'm not going to be as faithful as mom and dad were? Was it the grandkids? Where was the generation? Now, yes, this name may mean something, but then you've got 30 people below that name who won't even go to church. It's very important that we as parents stay faithful to the Lord and do things right by the grace of God the best we can. So I want to talk to you today about having a good relationship with your children, your grown children, your children at home, your grandchildren, whatever it may be. All right, let's pray together. Lord, would you bless our time together in your word this morning? And Lord, I've long felt that we adults make our own bed. We make our own decisions, and we have our likes and dislikes and our attitudes and our personalities and what we want and our thinking. And sometimes we get ourselves in a world of mess. But these kids growing up in our home, they don't really have a choice on anything. They're in our home. They're going to do what they're told. They're going to follow the example that we set. And Lord, today I pray that we will see as moms and dads and grandmothers and grandfathers that the example that we set is the example they're going to follow in their 20s and their 30s and their 40s. So Lord, I pray that you would just bring balance to our life today as parents and grandparents, and balance to our home. And I pray that each one of these young people that have a dad at home, or have a uncle or a grandpa, or a man that has raised them, or a lady that has raised them, I pray that they'll have a right relationship with that person. And Lord, help us to be grateful for our dads and mothers. Bless today, I pray. Use the message, I pray, to encourage all of us. Give us a thought or two from your word, we pray. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. It's one of the responsibilities that comes with being a dad, being a husband, and being a dad is fixing things. Rarely does dad walk in a house and tell mom the toilet's broke. Rarely does dad walk in a house and tell mom the battery won't start. Rarely does mom get told the dryer is broken, or the bathtub is broken, or the kid's bike needs fixing. No, it's dad most of the time that is fixing things. Dad, the toilet is stopped up. Dad, the mower is broken. Dad, the dryer won't dry. Dad, the oven light is out. Dad, the hot water heater is leaking. Dad, the check engine light is on my car. Dad, I think the roof has a leak. Dad, I think a breaker's off or something. The electric doesn't work. Dad, the vacuum, for some reason, is not working. Dad, my bed broke when you're raising Joshua. You hear that a couple of times. Dad, my bed broke. Dad, my tires need air. Could I get a witness in here from anybody that it just that's what you're going to hear all the time is dad, fix it. And we as dads, we are constantly fixing things. Now, I found it interesting in our text. This is, of course, the story of the prodigal son who went out and rebelled against the father and did his own thing and thought that the world had something to offer. And he realized the world had nothing to offer, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. He thought life was a big old party, just like some of you teenagers think right now, and we could just see what all we can get away with. But if you're a child of God, you're not going to get away with much for long. You can mock on, but God's going to get your attention somehow someday. Well, this young man wound up spending all. He wound up being in want. You remember the story. He couldn't find food. No one would give him any food. He was so starving at that moment. He was willing to go out and eat with the pigs, and anything that was tossed over that fence to the pigs, he was going to eat. And the Bible said, until he came to himself. It's better to come to yourself before you find yourself in the hog's pen and realize that my life is good in Christ, and I need to be right with God and walk with him. But this young man came to himself, and he said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I love this phrase. It's not really brought out much, but for this message, it makes so much sense. The young man had broken his life. The young man needed fixing. And he didn't say, I will arise and go to mama. Now, when they want to talk about emotional stuff, they go to mama. Some of you moms are mean, but they normally go to mom, you know. When she's got her mind on some guy, she ain't coming to dad first to say, Dad, what do you think? When he's got his heart on some young lady, he ain't coming to dad because he knows he's gonna get made fun of. So they're gonna go to mom. If they want a wound fixed right, they're going to go to mom, because dad's just going to throw some water on it and with his greasy hands apply a Band-Aid and say, it's all right, you know, you're all right, you're not going to die, and mom's going to do what it takes. But when this young man had broken his life, he said, I will arise and go to my father. And I'll say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I just want to say, first of all, today, that aren't you glad as born-again believers that we get to be a child of God? We get to say that God is our Father, our Heavenly Father. The Bible says in John 1 and verse 10, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. There are some of you in here that you say, I don't know who my dad is, or I don't know who my mom is, or maybe your parent died, or maybe they gave you up to a foster home, and you've been adopted into a family. Well, when it comes to being a child of God, we are all adopted into the family of God. It's not a bad thing to be adopted into a family. The Bible says in Romans 8 and verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's like saying Daddy, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So not only do we get to be a child of God have that as a name, but aren't you glad also that we have a Heavenly Father who fixes things? He fixes things. My kids can call me and say, Dad, I have a check engine light on my car, and I'll tell them how to investigate it, how to look into it. My kids make fun of me, and they'll watch this later, but you guys are boneheads. So they will make fun of me because no matter where I am, I always say this, you checked the oil on that car lately? Bruh, yeah, bruh, bruh, hey, bruh, yeah, bruh. And one of my kids needed a couple of things of oil before they left for camp. So thank God for dads, because dads fix things, right? And dads ask questions like that before dads have to fix things even more expensive down the road. But I'm glad I have a Heavenly Father I can go to and say, Lord, my check engine light's on. Now, not to touch a truck. Lord, my check engine light's on. Something ain't right. God, I need your help. The Bible says in Matthew 11, verse 28, come unto me, all ye, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm so glad that we have 1 Peter 5 and verse 7 in the Bible, because it says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We guys are fixers. Some of you ladies are fixers. You're good at learning how to fix things, a lot of times because bonehead, you told him 3 weeks ago and he still hadn't done it, but many of us in here are fixers. I don't know how the world lived without YouTube and Google and all those things. I know how we live. We paid everybody to do things. And now you learn it yourself. But no man wants to be told, get home from a busy day at work and you walk through the door. You don't want a list of what's wrong as soon as you walk through the door. No man wants to hear that. Now, I realize sometimes ladies have to vent, and so they've got to let you know that the kid took off the diaper and painted a mural on the wall today and then decided to flush the diaper. And then I've had dads call me, and I won't tell you who, but I've had dads call me and tell me that, I'm about to kill my kid. And I said, why? Well, you know those little cups where they rinse their mouth when they brush their teeth? Oh, they just decided they were going to flush that cup today, and they've got the come on. You know how kids can be. But yeah, let him walk through the door and maybe get a drink of water or something and relax a little bit. But then you say, like my family, my wife say to me sometimes, like, honey, I know you just got home, and I know you don't want to hear this, but I think there's water in the carpet over by the air conditioner. And I don't think that's supposed to be. And I was just going to let you know. And you know what we do as men? We grab our tools. We grab our hammer, because if you beat on something long enough, it'll probably fix it, but we do what we can fix it. And so we aren't you glad that you know, I know that as a spouse and as kids, you're glad that, you know what, dad will fix it. Let him know, and dad is, we're not gonna be, you know, we're not gonna be looking through the roof at the moonlight. Dad will put a tarp over it or something, but dad's going to fix it. Not only my Heavenly Father not only fixes things for me, but he works at being a blessing to me in so many other ways. Amen. Aren't you glad it's not just, well, I'll do what you need and don't ask for anything else? It's just being a blessing. It's being a help. Matthew 7 says in verse 7, ask and you shall receive, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will they give him a stone? If he ask a fish, will they give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And so it's not just always about what is the need. Sometimes it's about, Lord, I don't know if this would be your will for my life, but if it is, and you lay it out there, and God, we sure would like to have this or see this one day. I'll do anything, of course, for my kids, and at camp, if they need something before we leave town, I'll make sure that it's taken care of. But then I'll go overboard. And I had my stuff. I was only there for a couple of days, and we left a little bit early. So Josh said, Dad, hey, bro, you got any collared shirts? And I said, for what? He's like, man, hey, bro, I didn't bring enough collared shirts. So before I left, I got in my truck and got him a collared shirt that I had hanging up. I mean, if I understand him wanting to look like me, so I understand him wanting to wear my clothing. But so, aren't you glad we have a Heavenly Father who he when things are broken, he can fix it. But then he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so, just folks, let's learn to ask God and see what God can do. I'm glad that I have an earthly Father who fixes things. I'm glad I have a dad who, when we were growing up, would fix things. I remember when we first moved to Wills Point back in 83. Really, we moved here in 84. And I was in a Boy Scouts. I didn't even know that this type of thing existed. But the group was called We Belows. Anybody ever heard of that group? We Belows. I think in Hebrew it means we be geeks. But it was We Belows. And that was just the age group I was in. We were broke back then. But they had a kind of a cowboy rodeo type theme or something. We all had cowboy hats on, and man, we didn't have the money to go out and buy a stick horse back then. And you know, my dad took a piece of foam. You remember that? I took a piece of foam and cut out he's a pretty good artist, and cut out a horse head and painted it with a Marxa line. I still have it today. It's on the top of my closet at my house. And man, hey, I was proud to have that foam-headed horse at the Wee Belows, at the Weeby Nerds meeting. I was only in Boy Scouts for that time there. That was it. Because they started doing about, you can get patches, but you got to go be nice. I'm like, I'm out of here. So I'm glad I have a dad who fixes things. He had to fix a few cars that I wrecked over the years. So thank God he fixes things. I'm glad he put food on our table and made memories. We dads are fixers, or we're supposed to be fixers. So I want to present dads, I want to present all of us with an issue today that for far too many kids, it needs fixing. It needs fixing. And it's not their bicycle. I've told you before about Josh and when he was a little boy, and I was just busy in the church and didn't have all the tools that I have now over the years. And he would ride his bike with the boys in the neighborhood, a couple of the boys in the neighborhood. We've lived in the same place for 24 years. And I'll never forget that day I came home, and I looked, and Josh comes rolling up, you know. And I said, Josh, do you realize both of your tires are flat? He was riding around the neighborhood with his friends. He was on the rims. I said, man, come here. I got my compressor out and filled that up. I'll never forget the moment. He had to be like maybe seven, maybe. And I'll never forget the moment where I aired it up and he took off across my field and he's like, woo, woo! He could not believe that a bike went that fast. He's what a horrible dad. So I think it's the wives that teach us to be better dads, because I'll just say this one thing and move on. Dad wanted the kids to wake up Christmas morning to a trampoline in a box, because it's still a trampoline and we're still going to put it together and have some family time. You come up with all kinds of excuses. And this was the night we were at Grammy and Pawpaw's in Fort Worth, and it snowed at your house, and then it iced over and we slid through downtown Dallas. It was horrible. My nerves were shot. And I said, well, just they'll love the box. They'll know they're getting a trampoline. She's like, mm-mm. However y'all do Christmas, but we just did it, had fun. Label me a liar, whatever. We just had fun, and homie don't leave a box on Christmas morning. So I'm out there at 15 degrees. I'm not kidding. Worst night, worst Christmas Eve ever. And 15 degrees, and I had heaters, and I had all kinds of clothes on. I'm in the front yard putting together that trampoline. So one way or another, Dad, you're going to learn to fix things for your kids, whether it's trial by fire or whatever. But we're not talking about fixing their bike, and we're not talking about fixing their trampoline. The Bible says in Ephesians 6 and verse number 4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word bring means I'm going that way too. It means I'm headed in that direction, and I want my kids to see that I'm living for the Lord and being faithful to God. The Bible says in Colossians 3 and verse number 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, I know we have a bunch of tired teenagers in here today, so I'm not talking about today because I get that. I know you guys are tired from camp. But have you seen the average teenager today? There's something missing. And I believe with all my heart, what can make the difference is a dad. What can make the difference is a grandpa. If there's an absence of a dad in your life, young man, do you think God didn't know that was going to occur in your life? Yeah, maybe sin. Maybe dad got in trouble. Maybe dad ran from you. I don't know what all that was, but I know I serve an all-knowing God who knew that was going to happen in your life. And you could live life as a victim, and you could live life putting on a show, or you could say, you know what? God's going to use this in my life to help someone else down the road. Don't throw your life away. Because I'm preaching to dads today, and you're saying, well, I didn't have a dad. God didn't even give me a dad. Hey, God said, when your mother or father forsake you, the Lord said, then I'll take you up. You can't have a better father than your heavenly father. He fixes things. He answers prayer. He blesses your life. He'll give you direction. But unfortunately, we have a lot of angry and discouraged young people, as well as young adults today. Because something is broken that only dad can fix. I don't know what it is about a dad. I cannot believe that I'm a dad of two grown adults. She'll be 23 in a couple months, and Josh will be 19. I don't know what it is. You could take a sorry set of parents, and you'll just hear people in church sometimes. The kids may despise the mom that brought them into this world that was never there for them. But they will work all of their life to try to have a good relationship with that dad somehow, some way. Take a good set of parents. Good mom, good dad. We have a lot of them in our church here. Mom carried that little alien for 9 months. More power to you. I cannot see how you ladies did that, but it's just how God designed you. We were just designed to look like we're carrying babies. Amen, guys. Mom carried that kid. Better not say man these days. By the way, if we continue to follow this crazy pattern of the world, there'll be no children. Two guys can't have children. Two ladies can't have children. Now, I don't care about all the stuff they come up with these days. It's just against God, against nature. But mom carried that kid for 9 months. Nursed and nurtured that kid, changed diapers, bathed the child, taught the child, fed the child, did the laundry, cooked the meals, played the games, listened to the questions. Mom practically did everything to raise the kid. But dad walks through the door each night, and dad's the hero. Tell me that's not true. Now, some of you young men in here, you're a far better baby daddy than I was. I was a good junior dad, a good teen dad. I was not a good baby daddy. Some of y'all got this whole thing about, well, I've done two diapers, now you do too. I carry the diaper bag, now you carry the diaper bag. And I'm going to be over here talking to the men. Y'all carry the flowery bags, moms. And so I'm glad. We do have some good dads around here, some really loving dads here. And that's more power to you, all right? But I was not a good baby daddy. Am I supposed to say baby daddy? No. You know what Esau wanted? He wanted the blessing from dad. You know what Jacob wanted? He wanted the blessing from dad. And many kids are broken today because dad is busy fixing plumbing and fixing cars, but yet he neglects to fix the relationship with his child. Young people, can I say to you that it does go both ways? It's hard to have a relationship with a child who just chooses to live in rebellion. It's hard to have a good relationship with a child who just chooses to have a bad attitude, chooses to blame mom and dad for everything. The Bible says in Proverbs 23 and verse number 26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. Set the example. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But you know, young people, what you could do, the best thing you could do is give your heart to your mom and dad. Give your heart to your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa, whoever is raising you. Just give your heart to them. I promise you, you're going to love life that way. I love it when I look back those pictures last week and see my kids as little bitty kids there. I remember those days. And man, what a blessing when you walk in a room and your little bitty kid comes running towards you. What a blessing. I watch some of you that are grandparents. And some of these grandkids walk in this building and they see grandma, they see grandpa. And man, they go running down that aisle. They want to be around grandma. They want to be around grandpa. Sometimes more than they want to be around mom and dad. And mom and dad are like, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead. Take a break. That's wonderful. But I love it. But you know what I love even more? That it's not that little Bubba at 5 years old that's running to dad's office. I love the fact now that they're still not too big for me, that they're still not too old for me. I love the fact now that I can pull up at a camp and rest assured, and I'm not trying to embarrass my kids today, but rest assured, I don't care if there are a million people on that campus. I told Sarah the other day, I said, you're like a hen turkey. Man, I pull up from anywhere. You're like, beep, 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 beep. And I said, you can find me. I mean, as soon as I can't get out of my truck. Hello? She's right there. But I'd rather have that than have a kid that never wants to see me, never wants to call, never wants to hang around with dad. He's just an old man. He's just the old grouch. He's just the this, and the that. Man, I'm glad I have my kid's heart because, boy, if you lose your kid's heart, I mean, what else is there? If you can keep your child's heart, you've already won half of the battle. Half of the battle. I wasn't a perfect kid. Just measured by Shane and Sean, it puts me really high on the... But I wasn't a perfect kid. But I mean, I watch, and he'll give you the full testimony, so I'm not picking on him. And thank God for salvation. Thank God for all those things. But I watch what my older brother did, and I said, I'm not doing that to my parents. Some of you had an older brother or older sister that did that, caused your parents a lot of grief and in their rebellion in their teenage years. And you ought to just use that. And even if you didn't have that as an example, just listen to what I'm saying. You ought to just decide right now, I know I'm going to break mom and dad's heart by accident, but it will never be on purpose. And I know I'm a sinner saved by grace, and I'm going to do some things that I shouldn't have done, but I will not on purpose cause issues for my dad or issues for my mother. Young people, if you could just get that down in your heart, if you could just get that settled in your heart, I promise you, you're going to go places, you're going to have a good relationship with your family, and you'll stop all this criticism of what mom didn't do or what dad didn't do. It's not about what they did or didn't do, though I'm preaching to dads today to challenge us. If you'll just give them your heart, it won't matter. You'll just respect them and honor them, and God will bless your life for it. And I want to say this, and I'm going to give you a few points quickly, but I do want to say this. Each one of your children ought to be equally as important to you as the other. Now, there are kind of two categories here. One, in our church, and I wish we were all in here like a Sunday night. We have a lot of folks in here and a lot of parents, but your flesh and blood kid ought to matter to you. But I want to say his kids or her kids ought to be just as important in your life. If I could tell you the stories, you wouldn't believe it, of good families over the years. And I don't even think they realized that they were doing this, but every time they would come to me to tell me about a problem, it was always the opposite spouse's kids. It was never their kids. It just seems to be something in people that, like, here's my pride and joy, but oh yeah, these are mine too. Thank God for those of you who have blended well in your families over the years, and many people have gone through divorces and you've remarried, and thank God, I know some of you, your whole mindset is just, that's as much my daughter as my flesh and blood daughter, and that's as much my son, and they treat you that way, and thank God for that. But if you're younger and you're still trying to adapt to those sort of things, maybe you're watching online, listen, all those kids ought to matter. Those adopted kids ought to matter too. I've watched families in our church and come through our church, and every time they tell you how sorry their kid is, it's always the one they adopted. It's never the rest. No kid could be that bad. You choose to adopt a kid, you better be wise about it. You better pray about it. But when you make that, when you sign on that dotted line, that becomes your child. God help you if you treat them any different. Those foster kids, treat them just as important as your other kids. But I would say this also about foster kids, for those of you that do have them. You can't give all the energy to them and not focus on the kids that are sitting in your home that are always there. Folks, there are three things we men need. We need a backbone, we need a Bible, and we need balance. All your kids ought to be treated equal. The one that's like you, the one that's not like you. I could give you details today, but Sarah's a lot like me, other than she has a sweet spirit and she responds well to people. I just kind of hold that to myself, but Sarah's a lot like me. She thinks a lot like me. She's drinking out of a coffee cup the other day that the heading on the cup said liberal tears. She was drinking liberal tears. The one with your likes, the one that doesn't have anything in common with you. I've had kids come to me over the years say, "Preacher, could you tell me how I could have a better relationship with my dad? We don't see eye to eye on anything." Well, I'll tell you how. Dads, we're the ones going to have to make that happen. The high maintenance child, the low maintenance child, the one that makes good grades, the one that struggles in school, the one that loves school, the one that hates it, the one with special needs, the one that's quiet. What do they say? The squeaky wheel gets the oil, but you might want to drop a little oil on the rest of those kids also. Quit letting the one that's loud, the one that's always high energy, get all of the attention, just expecting the other ones to make it and expect the other ones to just kind of fall in line. Here's my question, then I'll give you just a few topics really quickly here, but I just want to make you think a little bit. You know, it's just part of ministry to have people turn on you, but man, I've always enjoyed just still having my kids no matter what. It's not to say the devil can't get in their life. I mean, we pray for them all the time, and we want them to have the right spouse one day. And you know, one thing I like, you know, one reason Sarah has not rushed into marriage? She says, "I can't find anybody like Dad." She said there's either the type that wants to sip coffee in the coffee shop and sit and latte and philosophize about global warming, or the type that just they're indecisive about everything and they're always changing their mind and whatever. She's like, man, I had a dad who just wasn't afraid to be a man. Sinner saved by grace. So yeah, she'd see some flesh sometimes. She'd see some temper. My wife was telling me a story last night. I don't even remember all the details. Something she read online that about something, a guy that was like killing children or something, like kidnapping children and killing them. And they interviewed him down the road and said, how did you choose your victims? He said, I chose my victims based on the dad. She said, I'd study up the dad. I'd watch the dad. And if he was like one of those men that I thought, I don't want to mess with him, I'd leave his family alone. Now, I realize we're not supposed to live in flesh. I do realize that. But we better get rid of this effeminate stuff going on in our society where every guy is supposed to be this sissified, how are you? Yeah. If I've got to worry about whether or not you're gay, you need to practice talking. Practice your speech a little bit. It doesn't all have to be crude and rude and all that kind of stuff, but don't be ashamed to be a man. Is there one of your children that God will bring to your heart this morning that you say, I need to spend some more time with that kid? All right, how do we fix it? Let me give you five things. I can't give you all that I have here, but how do we fix it? Okay, you want to have a good relationship with your children. No doubt about that. You want to do that. All right, number one is time. Make memories. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there's a season, time to every purpose under the heaven. Well, we don't have time. We've got to make time. I don't enjoy just digging into the past, but I do enjoy seeing pictures from time to time and just remind you of what all you got to do, you know, in life, the places you've been. You can go in Sarah's room right now. Well, you can't because we're under strict orders, but you can go in her room right now. She's got it all. I forget what you call that, but it's Southwest, I guess. And she's got like these deer horns. She's got cactuses. Cacti, I don't know, cacti in her window, and I mean it's a cute little room. It almost looks like she's never moving out, and that kind of, you know, but you walk in there on her wall, and she has a mural. I mean, like a whole wall mural of pictures of times with her grandparents, of times with her parents, and man, I love it. You're not going to get the time back. Take time on a family trip, time one-on-one. Let me encourage you, even at their young age, once they're up and walking and talking, take an individual trip with your kid. Here's what I mean. Brother Cade, Miss Taylor, you have three kids, right? One boy and two girls. And God blessed you once and cursed you twice, but one boy. What I mean by that, Brother Cade, is you ought to take each one of those girls one time. This is her time to go with Dad. We're going down to the donut shop. We'll bring y'all something back, but it's just me and Dad. I'm telling you, they don't forget that stuff. And I really believe that's why I can get to a camp and they're not out there like, oh, hey, there's Dad. We'll see him at chapel. It's like whatever they're doing. It's like beeline to Dad's truck, because we used to leave the church here and just one would get to ride with me, and they'd fight over it. But they knew if they rode with Mom, and I ain't trying to cut her down, but Mom ain't stopping for donuts. She's not spending $1.32. She'll have a list, and when the list is complete, and we have it budgeted, and it's all written down, we'll stop then, and we'll get back. Okay. Dad will go to Mobile and spend $7 on two packages of donuts and, you know, whatever. And so they're like, I'm riding with Dad. No, I'm riding with Dad. Spend time with your kids. Spend time mowing the yard together. Josh used to ride, Sarah used to ride on the front of my mower with me. They'd ride on that mower. Be careful. One time I let Josh mow my whole yard, and I walked out there, and my field was a figure eight, like a go-kart. I think it's the last time I let him mow it till last Saturday. Go shopping together, go fishing together, play with some toys together. You know the age of your children. Brother Trent told me the other day at camp, he said, Preacher, he said, Luke laughed at me for the first time. He said, he smiles at me all the time, you know. He said, but I was getting ready and packing for camp, and he was laying on the bed, and he said, I'm making faces and all. He said, he just kind of, he giggled at me. I said, oh, He's at the good age now. When these babies are just a few months, they're all like, it's like, you're boring. But when they start laughing, if no one else will laugh at dad, a kid will laugh at dad. So I don't care what your kid's age is. Have fun with them. Make some memories. How about time in church together? All right, so number one, time. Number two is training. How do we fix it? How do we have a right relationship with our kids? Well, one is time. Take every one of your kids individually somewhere. I don't care if it's just, I got to run down to Walmart. Instead of just saying, no, all y'all stay home with mom. Just, all right, you can come now. But remember, next time it's got to be the other one. Can't always be the boy. And it can't always be the girl. Time. I'm not bragging about my kids. My relationship with my kids, I just love my relationship with my kids. And Josh the other day said, Dad, hey, bro, hey. Man, let's go uptown at camp. He said, let's run in town. I said, you got time to run in town? Oh, yeah, I don't have to be back till 3:30. Hey, let's go to Sonic. And I'm not old, but I guess I'm getting old when it comes to technology. I said, all right, let's go. I need to run to Walmart. We had to get a couple things. And we went, and we were in Walmart. He said, Dad, you want a drink from Sonic? It was right outside. I said, no, I'm fine. He's like, all right. We got out, and he said, all right, pull up to Sonic. Pull up in the booth there, and they'll bring it to us. I said, you already ordered? He's like, yeah, Dad, on the app. And she hands us the stuff, and then she hands us two bags. I said, you didn't say we were getting food. And she said, have a great day. I said, Josh, you didn't pay. He's like, Dad, you order on the app, and you pay on the app. And I'm like, man, I don't know what you're talking about, but what did you order? Because you said drink. You didn't say food. He's like, I know. That's why I got us an eight-piece cheese sticks. I said, okay. I said, well, those are kind of greasy. I said, I'll take one. And I'm not kidding. 5 minutes later, I took him to a coffee shop there in town. I wanted him to see that coffee shop that they have there. And I said, hey, we need to throw those cheese sticks away or something. I don't want them stinking up my truck. He said, they're gone. I said, what happened to 8 divided by 2? Equals 4. I'm just saying to your parents and grandparents, and I see your grandparents doing a great job, but spend as much time as you can. Spend as much time as you can. Are you listening, dads? I realize jobs keep us busy and people keep us busy. Spend as much time as you can. Brother Brent got to go see his dad's grave yesterday. I'm so glad he finally, he's talked about that for years, and he and Miss Orms made that drive out to West Texas. His dad dropped dead of a heart attack when he was 14. So, Dad, you don't know that you're going to come home tomorrow. Time. All right, 2 is training. Got to finish here. 2 is training. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I've heard all kinds of things said about that verse, and I think they're all true. You know, you know, maybe they run from it, but in the older age, they'll figure it out. And I believe that could be, because I've seen that. They know where they should be. I've seen that. I like it also when you train them up and they don't depart. I like that. We all hope for that. My kids are not at that level yet where it's like they never departed. They're still young. They're still young. If you're in your 20s, you're still, you know, mid-20s, you're starting to get to that place now where you're kind of, you know, this is where we want to be, you know, barring just an attack by the devil. But I think one that gets skipped a lot is, we wonder what happened to him. Did we not train him up to be that way? We went to church, but there was nothing spiritual at home. We went to church, but we went when we wanted to. So we don't understand why church didn't work. Well, didn't we train them up to kind of show up when you want to? Y'all following me? Didn't we train them up to go to church and be churchy, but at home be carnal? All right, so let's train. All right, kids sit in rooms and they play video games and they watch movies and they talk on the phone and no one's teaching them anything. Does your kid know about how to fix things? They're going to go through this stage from about 4 to 8 years of old, 4 to 8 years of age, and here's what you're going to hear. Why, Dad? Why, Dad? Why, Mom? Mom, why? Why, Mom? Why? Dad, why? Why? Hey, teach them. Then comes junior age, and they don't just want to know why. They want to kind of grab that screwdriver and try it themselves. And you're like, I could get this done so quick. But let them try it for a minute. Then as a teenager, hey, prepare them for life. Teach them how to fix things. Teach them finance. Teach them how to drive, how to cook, how to clean, how to iron, how to care for a family. By the way, I'm all about men being men, but guys can learn how to cook. Guys can learn how to clean. Guys can learn how to use a washing machine. Guys can use how to iron. I iron my clothes a lot just because I know how to iron. She's got other things to do. I don't sit there and stare at her while she irons my clothes. She could be doing something else. I know how to put whites in a washing machine and hit the button. I may put too much bleach. I may not put enough. I don't know. I loaded the dishwasher a week ago, and she's like, did you hit start on that the next day? I said, no, I didn't, because I wasn't quite sure what button hit. She said, well, good, because I had to take about half of it out and rearrange it. I said, well, it's the thought that counted. But men, we weren't raised to be invalids. God gave you a help meet, not a do everything. I'm a grown man. My wife doesn't have to pack my drawer tails to go to youth camp. I don't know why God had me say that. Maybe some of you had to have that. We want our kids to catch on, right? But they're not going to catch on in life. When they turn 18 and graduate, they don't know anything about a bank account. They don't know anything about a vehicle. They don't have a driver's license. They're prepared for nothing because parents want to take the simple way out. So train them, all right? Then truth. They need truth. Number three is they need truth. You should know the truth. Truth shall make you free. Certainly that truth is Christ. But we also need to teach them scriptural principles. In other words, your kids ought to think, man, quit, Dad, quit preaching to me. Teach it. Tell it. Tell the truth. Be honest. Be ethical. Be upright. Be someone they could respect. Hey, demand the truth. Expect honesty from your kids. Live the truth. Don't live hypocritically. We're not perfect. Young people, I've told you that over and over again. We are not perfect parents, and you're not a perfect young man or a perfect young lady. And sometimes we're going to blow it and have a bad day. But you know what? There's a difference in just having a bad day and your kid leaving here and just saying, man, if Dad would just be what he is at church, man, we'd have a great home. Don't live hypocritically. All right, number four is this. No, number three is truth, but number one is time. Let's spend some time. Make those memories. You only get those kids one time. Make some memories. Next is training. By the way, train your boy to be a man and your daughter to be a lady. And I realize sometimes we have to correct it, and I realize, guys, sometimes we're bad about it, being a man ourselves and saying crude things or doing crude things or whatever. But let's teach our men, young men, to not only be men, but be gentlemen. And teach our young girls to be ladies. So, sometimes I hear some of the crudest stuff coming out of young ladies' mouths. And so that's just the way we've always talked. But why would you say stuff like that? Is there not a Holy Spirit that says, this is probably not a conversation that we need to be having or words that we need to be calling one another? Amen. Time together and training, and kids need truth. And number four, you know what else our kids need? This is a tough one. They need temperance. They need to see temperance. You know what that is? Self-control. Or self-controlled by the Holy Spirit. Now, I can still get a temper. If I'm pushed hard enough and far enough, I certainly can. So can a lot of men in here. By the way, so can a lot of ladies in here. But the first two or three or four or five years of marriage, first two or three or four or five years at my house, I produced holes that later on I had to go back and fix and think, well, that was kind of stupid. Go outside and hit something. I know you are perfect, and you just sit down and say, well, honey, whatever you think. You just tell me whatever you want. Say whatever you want. I'm just going to be calm. That's not in me. And boy, there were times. I may have lost some of you right there, and that's fine because you're perfect. But you know what I have to work on? Calm down. Brother Sims, I don't know if it was in his message or if it was at supper, and he was telling me about all the stuff he's doing now and studying. And he's like, you just got to, you know, he said, we learned that you just have to say, I need a moment. I'm glad that's working for them. Sometimes I need a moment, and I'm like, I need another moment. I need another moment, and I need 10 yards. Okay, now I need to go out of the room. Now I need a week. Is there any way I can get a week out of this? Dads, blowing up on your children is not going to help anything. We've got to get our tempers under control. Many a man's temper has ruined a relationship with their child. Reactions and overreactions and words. So you pray and ask the Lord to help you with that matter. How do we keep from provoking our children to wrath? By the way, I never hit my kids outside of just spanking them. Kids need spankings, and that's biblical. Time out, you can do it if you want to, but it's not found in the Bible. Standing in the corner, you could do it. We've all done it, but it's not found in the Bible. But the rod of correction is found in the Bible. Not the threat. You do that. If you do that an 11th time, I'm telling you right now. If you don't correct that as little kids, I don't mean to ramble here, but we got a few little kids in this church that are mouthy. And it's not funny. And if we don't correct that, we have other kids in here that have not been taught how to correctly interact with adults. You go to shake their hand, they're like, and I go, whoa, 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 whoa. No. You walk up and the Bible tells us to rise up before the gray head. You wake up and shake hands. You don't walk up and try to tackle an 80-year-old. How do they get all that? They're just kids. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. One time that I can remember, one time, I slapped Joshua on the legs. He was a little bitty. He had a pair of shorts on. He did something dumb, sitting beside me on the couch. Bam! And it left that mark. And I mean, right there, I was like, I'll never do that again to this helpless little child. And I watched parents over the years. I've watched parents grab kids up, and I thought that arm is going to come out of that kid. Temperance. The last one, I know I've got to be done, but how do we keep from provoking our children to wrath, where they hate life, they have no direction, they're just mad, they're discouraged? I'm telling you, dads, I cannot say it enough. Dads make all the difference in the world. We know mom does 99% of everything with that child, especially if you're homeschooling. But there's just something about dad. Spend some time with him. Do some training. Live the truth, teach the truth, demand the truth. Practice that temperance, that self-control, or self-controlled by the Holy Spirit. Walk out of the room. Don't say something foolish that you're going to regret later. And the last one I'm going to give you is the T word is talk, talks, talks. Communication is the key to any right relationship in your life. We can talk to our Heavenly Father as Jesus did in John 17. We can talk to our Heavenly Father whenever we want, about whatever we want. Our children ought to say the same thing about us. Yes, there are some things they'd rather talk to mom about. But dad, does your daughter ever come to you and just have a conversation? Does your son ever come to you and just have a conversation? Have fun talks. Have serious talks. Have talks of correction. Have talks for direction. Have talks for training. Have talks to calm their nerves. But have talks on a regular basis. If you go home today, and I realize sometimes we all go get out of our church clothes, and I'm not talking about that. But if most days you come home and everyone goes their separate ways, all the doors begin to close, something is very wrong. If your child spends all of their time in their room, something is very wrong. Dad, you're the fixer. Well, mom do this and mom do that. Yes, they can help. And yes, moms have things they need to work on. And yes, and no, mom needs to be on dad's side. And no doubt about that. No matter how good or bad dad is, mom needs to be on dad's side. But at the end of the day, if you want your kids to grow up and love life and be able to look people in the eye and talk and speak up and have vision and get some direction and move forward, those chats with mom are extremely helpful. But boy, they need a man in their life. who they can go to for anything and say, you know what? If Dad says it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. Just like us. If my Heavenly Father in His Word says it's going to be okay, then no matter how I feel right now, it's going to be okay.